Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We begin with our affirmation of faith, this one taken from 2 Timothy in the first chapter. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. The reading of God's word for today is from the letter of James in the fifth chapter, verse 7 through 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I've just finished writing a piece for the upcoming newsletter, and some of it reflects on several prosperity gospel preachers. I've always felt that prosperity gospel preachers, and many like them, have never read the book of Job in the Bible. They've never read the book of Job in the Bible, or they have misunderstood what it is they read in the book of Job. It's easy to misread the book of Job. I found an article online that talks about advice they found in the book of Job. The problem with the article is that the writer is quoting the wrong person in the book of Job. Remember, Job's friends receive God's condemnation. Job receives God's praise. If you want to quote someone from the book of Job, it had better be Job or God. I also confess that reading the book of Job is not easy reading. It's beautiful Hebrew, as a friend told me. My friend and I read the book of Job together in Hebrew. Actually, he read the book of Job in Hebrew, and I watched him. He reminded me how much I had forgotten from my two classes on Hebrew language. But you can believe my pastor friend, because he was smart. The book of Job is beautiful Hebrew. I wound up at the book of Job this week because we talked about Satan last week, and Satan figures heavily in the book of Job. I also talked about prayer. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. God's people run to it, and they are safe. Safe or saved. And you may recall that the Lord God, at the end of the book of Job, requires Job to pray for Job's friends. I didn't recall that the book of Job quotes any of Job's prayers, because Job was a man of prayer and he received trouble from Satan's visits. So I wondered if anyone else ever asked about Job's prayers, and yes, I'm not the only person curious about Job's prayers. The author of the article that I read works for or has worked for the Guidepost magazine, which some of you have read or used. The author Bob Hostetler wrote an article entitled, How to Pray Like Job. So I found a kindred spirit who is curious about prayer in the book of Job. We do read about Job praying, but Bob Hostetler also noted there are no actual prayers that Job prayed found in the book of Job. Here's what the book of Job reported, the last chapter, Job chapter 42. The Lord God said to Eliphaz, there's a great name, Eliphaz, We don't hear that name anymore. The Lord God said to Eliphaz, "Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So we are told Job prayed. We are not given the prayers of Job, but we notice that the New Testament didn't take note of Job as a man of prayer. The apostle spoke of the patience of Job. At least that's how I remembered it. I was remembering the King James Version, which reads, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Our Pew Bibles, the New International Version, says it this way, "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." I'm going to have to come back and study this King James Version of James 5:1 that appears to connect perseverance with happiness. I'm not sure that those two ideas go together in the modern mind, perseverance and happiness. Maybe if you were Thomas Edison, perseverance and happiness go together, but I'm not certain about your average American. I think when most Americans pray, and I certainly have, I prayed for relief from what I have to face. I haven't prayed to endure what I have to face. And yes, that's a confession. I'm sure I've asked you before, speaking of perseverance, ever see a cross-country runner smile while they are running? No. They might smile when the race is over, but if we see a cross-country runner smiling, we're more likely to wonder, what's wrong with him? The cross-country runner is persevering, but he certainly doesn't look happy. Bob Hostetler made an observation that I have made about Job and prayer. When we pray, we should pray what's really on your heart and mind. Job didn't mince words with God. He said things like, "I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul." Second verse, first chapter of Job. This is where modern American Christians misread the book of Job. Even some preachers try to claim that Job's problem is Job's self-righteousness. If anyone reading the book of Job believes that Job needs an attitude adjustment, you will entirely miss why Job is in the Bible. The book of Job is in the Bible because bad things happen to good people. And Job had everything bad happen to him in one day. And then it got worse. Now, you may want to sanctimoniously claim that there are no good people. Fine. You have some strong theology to back you up, but I point to what God himself said of Job. "A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." And God said that even after Job lost everything. The Bible states, "In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." So how can anyone find a problem with Job? Well, American Christians will find something wrong with Job, but they miss the point of Job's book. Bad things happen to good people. The book of Job is really a book for all of us who have suffered anything terrible in our lives. The book of Job is for any faithful person who even thinks something terrible has happened in their lives. I advised a Christian just last week, what a suffering Christian really needs is a friend who is also a suffering Christian. Then the suffering friend will and can acknowledge their friend's suffering and have compassion. I'm not sure that I see much compassion coming from Job's so-called friends. Bob Hostetler recommends, so pray like Job. Pray your true thoughts and feelings. God sees and knows those things anyway. Then Hostetler quotes the great C.S. Lewis, who wrote, "We must learn to lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us. Some preachers, and I've heard them, will start quoting even the book of James. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. That is correct. Don't grumble against one another. And you still may grumble to God all you need to. Grumble to God all you want to. Grumble until you can't grumble anymore. I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul, says Job. Then chapter 1, verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with any wrong. I've often counseled people to pray what's on their heart, even if it is bitterness or blame. You wouldn't be the first, and you won't be the last, and God can handle it. I've noticed that some Christians get nervous with that kind of advice, as if they were responsible for our Lord's integrity. We're not responsible for our Lord's integrity. We're not responsible for explaining God's ways to others. The only thing we have been asked to do is to explain the Jesus way to others. Love God, love people, trust God, trust Jesus. Other verses I have heard pastors preach on include Philippians chapter 2, do all things without complaining and disputing. That's right. Now, you're entitled to your opinion, but that doesn't mean we should share it everywhere. That's what Twitter is for, and social media, so you can let everyone know what's bothering you this very minute. That's why I don't use social media. I was taught that if you don't have anything nice to say about someone, then don't say it, period. However, I'm free to pray all my irritations, injustices, dislikes, and peeves. I may pray all that, and pray it all that I want to. And I know that my Lord will hear me, and my Lord will understand. Now, sometimes I can be difficult to deal with. The Lord knows that. Like last Sunday, I really, really did not want to mow the lawn. Then I got the news that the air quality was going to be worse as the day went on. So now I would have to mow the lawn earlier in the day than later in the day when the temperature had gone down. So I decided to count my blessings. First of all, I own my yard, so I'm responsible for it. Two, my yard has grass that's growing on it. There's no drought. Number three, I have a lawnmower, and my lawnmower works. That can be two separate blessings. I'm able to walk behind my lawnmower, even at my age. Number five, I have antihistamines that work for me while I work outside, and I have some on my shelf. That also could be two blessings. Number six, I have protection I can wear for my skin and my ears and my lungs. So even though I didn't want to mow the lawn that day, I realized that I myself had made all the arrangements for me to mow my lawn. So I grumbled at myself all the way to the mower. I'm usually not that difficult to deal with, but I was more fatigued when I was finished mowing, more fatigued than I wanted to be. But I got it done. Sometimes I have to remember Jesus' story of the two sons. No, not that story. The other story of the two sons. Matthew chapter 21. Jesus said, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." I can even say, "I will not do it. I will not mow the lawn today. But if I repent and do what my father wants, I will have done the will of my father." This next reminder from the book of Job is one I perhaps take for granted when talking to people about prayer. I usually counsel that prayer is a two-way communication. Bob Hostetler states plainly, ask God to speak. Hostetler states that those words can be dangerous or risky. How many times do we caution that a person just might get what they prayed for? And the reverse is also true. Blessed is he who does not receive what he asked for in prayer. Now, there are entire books on how to listen to God, and I recommend the late, great Charles Stanley's book, Listening to God. I remind you of Elijah's hearing, a still, small voice, and the rabbis spoke of people not being able to bow low enough to hear God speak. If we ask the Lord to speak, we really need to be prepared to listen, and to listen in ways we may not have used before. Speak to God and keep speaking. I used to think that when I was young that I should ask God only once for something and that to keep asking showed a lack of faith. I've grown so much wiser since then. Our Lord may want us to be available to hear our Lord speak to any number of issues rather than just the one that we keep yammering about, but the one concern, if it's uppermost on our hearts, our Lord would prefer that it also be uppermost in our prayers. And by all means, keep going to the Lord about it. See Jesus' words in Luke 18:1. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I have a friend who really enjoyed God's answer to Job. In chapter 42, the fact that my friend was a Presbyterian might have something to do with it, but my friend thought that God really put Job in his place and cut Job down to size. The Lord God says, "Where were you when I?" But our focus on God's words to Job misses again one of those obvious things that we so often just blip over. First of all, God himself showed up and spoke to Job. How many people does God show up for in the Bible? Maybe a couple of handfuls? Part of the miracle of Jesus is that God shows up for us here where we live. God showed up for Job. Then God speaks to Job. For some of us, that's far more important than all the stuff that Job gets back in the last chapter. But we Americans get focused on the stuff. I think it also means that most Americans have never been traumatized. Anyone who's lost a child knows that having more children is not the answer in Job chapter 42, the end of the book. Job lost all of his children in chapter 2. All the stuff that Job gets back in the last chapter cannot help Job's grief at the loss of his children in chapter 2. But God showing up and talking to you, that can help a person's grief. It doesn't mean that a person is done grieving, but it can be helpful. But Americans, especially prosperity gospel preachers, see that more blessing of Job, and that is all that they can see. But James's letter emphasizes, for the suffering follower, James points to the perseverance of Job. The English Standard Version states it this way, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast." You've heard of the steadfastness of Job? The Revised Standard Version says, "Behold, we call those happy who were steadfast." You've heard of the steadfastness of Job. The New Living Translation, we think of those who stayed true to him, that is, stayed true to God, as happy, even though they suffered. You have heard how long Job waited. And finally, the New Living Translation, we give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. The late great Bible scholar Martin Debelius would have us notice Job's endurance and God's control of what happens next, or rather how the story of Job ends. That's God's doing. One way I would summarize the book of Job is that Job did not give up on God, and God did not give up on Job. because through most of the book of Job, it appears that God has indeed given up on Job. And all Jesus followers who have suffered know the feeling. Job's wife concluded that Job should just suicide by cursing God, and then God would take Job's life away also, just as God had allowed everything else to be taken from Job. But Job hung on to his belief that God allows bad things to happen to good people. Job's first words out of his mouth after Job's initial disasters, words the church uses on Ash Wednesday, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord." The relationship to God, Job still clung to. Job lost everything else, but Job kept his relationship to God. Job would still pray, and the Lord called upon Job to pray for Job's friends. So no matter what we have suffered, no matter how we have suffered, no matter how long we have suffered, keep to, cling to, remember our Lord, whose last earthly words were, "I shall remain with you always, even to the end of time, even to the end of the age, even to the end of the world, even until the consummation," however you want to translate it, "I shall remain with you always." Don't leave our Lord, for our Lord is not leaving you.